These days, there's so much news, it can be hard to keep up with what it all means for you, your family, and your community. The Consider This podcast from NPR features our award-winning journalism. 6 days a week, we bring you a deep dive on a news story and provide the context and analysis that helps you make sense of the news. We get behind the headlines. We get to the truth. Listen to the Consider This podcast from NPR.
Welcome to the Georgia Today podcast. Here, we bring you the latest reports from the GPB newsroom. On today's episode, the Supreme Court is likely to rule in the Georgia case of an FBI raid that targeted the wrong house. A report from Emory University details the health effects of pollution in coastal Brunswick, and the Georgia Chamber publishes a new report on the ongoing trade war.
There could be outright procurement bans on U.S. technology companies. We're hearing about licensing boards across the globe that would increase burdens on our engineers, consultants, or attorneys that might practice abroad.
Today is Wednesday, April 30th. I'm Peter Biello, and this is Georgia Today. Civil rights groups in Atlanta today condemned actions taken by President Donald Trump during his first 100 days in office. GPB's Sarah Callis reports.
On the steps of Big Bethel AME, the oldest black church in Atlanta, civil rights advocates said they are continuing to push back on changes to the federal government made by Trump, including cuts by the Department of Government Efficiency, mass deportations, tariffs, and DEI rollbacks. Southern Poverty Law Center President and CEO Margaret Huang said that Trump's second administration so far has been marked by chaos.
From the first day President Trump took office, he and his inner circle have taken a wrecking ball to the agencies and services that are lifelines for millions of people and for the heart of our democracy.
In a speech Tuesday, Trump said his first 100 days were the most successful of any administration. For GPB News, I'm Sarah Callis in Atlanta.
The U.S. Supreme Court seems likely to issue a narrow ruling in a Georgia case over an FBI raid that targeted the wrong house. Justices heard oral arguments in the case yesterday. Some appeared open to the argument that the Atlanta family of Trina Martin should be able to sue the government over the mistake that left them traumatized. Their attorney, Patrick Giacomo, compared their right to police accountability to a business refund.
If you really, really meant to drop the pizza off at the right address, it doesn't matter. You still need to give a refund if you drop it off at the wrong address.
But the court overall seemed wary of handing down a more sweeping ruling on police liability for their mistakes. A new report in the journal Environmental Pollution, published by Emory University, says coastal Brunswick area residents have elevated levels of industrial chemicals known as PCBs in their bodies. The area has four of the nation's most contaminated hazardous waste sites. GPB's Sophie Gratis has more.
The government banned PCBs in the 1970s because they can cause cancer and other health issues. In Brunswick, these and other contaminants have been found at the site of an old landfill, chemical manufacturing plants, and a dredged creek. Blood tests from 100 longtime residents, including former workers at the plants, show almost half of them have levels of a kind of PCB, an aerochlor, that is far higher than U.S. averages. But Emory's Noah Skovronik says there's still more to learn.
The fact that these chemicals build up in the body over time make it very difficult to differentiate whether people were exposed recently or historically, or both.
He says to understand how exposure works, they'll need to survey more people. That work is currently waiting on a federal grant to continue. For GPB News, I'm Sophie Gratis.
The Georgia Chamber has published its fourth report on the impact of the ongoing trade war on Georgia businesses. The report focuses on the state's large service sector, which includes digital service providers and professionals like engineers and accountants, as well as film and tourism. Chamber President and CEO Chris Clark notes the importance of cybersecurity firms in Augusta and payment processors in Atlanta and Columbus.
We are hearing that foreign countries could restrict cross-border data flows, which could effectively exclude U.S. cloud technology firms. There could be outright procurement bans on U.S. technology companies. We're hearing about licensing boards across the globe that would increase burdens on our engineers, consultants, or attorneys that might practice abroad. And our robust tourism and entertainment sectors could get walloped if countries issue travel warnings or we just see decline in traffic to the U.S.
He says more than 4 million Georgians are employed in service industries. The chamber's previous reports focused on small businesses and manufacturing, among other sectors. A national state of preschool report shows a continuing long-term decline in enrollment in Georgia's lottery-funded pre-K program. The report, released this week by the National Institute for Early Education Research, says Georgia's enrollment rate in 2024 was 55% of eligible children, down from 60% in 2019. Georgia pre-K used to be the envy of the nation. The report says it's fallen behind, but notes the assessment came before a, quote, historical investment made by state lawmakers for the 2024-2025 school year. Atlanta-based fashion entrepreneur Lauren Amos is giving the High Museum of Art $3 million to establish the museum's first-ever multifaceted initiative related to fashion design. The museum announced the gift today, along with new fashion-related programs and the search for a fashion curatorial position. Amos is a longtime High Museum board member, best known for co-founding the global fashion house Antidote. The Atlanta Falcons have been fined $250,000 for the role the team played in a data breach that resulted in a prank call to Shedeur Sanders last week during the 2025 NFL draft. The league says the fine is for failing to prevent the disclosure of confidential information. The call made headlines when the Falcons said the son of their defensive coordinator, Jeff Ulbrich, was responsible. Ulbrich has been fined $100,000. The call happened on the second day of the draft while Sanders was waiting for what many expected to be a first-round pick. He was drafted by the Cleveland Browns in the fifth round. And that's a wrap on Georgia Today. We do appreciate you tuning in. You can check gpb.org/news for the latest updates. And we're going to be back here tomorrow. The best way to remember to come back is to subscribe to this podcast. That way, you won't miss a thing. And if you've got feedback or a story idea, send it our way by email. The address is georgiatoday@gpb.org. I'm Peter Biello. Thanks again for listening. We'll see you tomorrow.